Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Joanne Richardson, who is the founder of Girlfriend's Guide to Surrogacy and recently completed her third ongoing surrogacy journey. Becoming a surrogate is something that just sort of happened to Joanne. One day she was talking about with her husband Brad, and before she knew it, 3 months later, she was pregnant with her first surrogate baby. Having gone through this process multiple times, Joanne has firsthand knowledge of what it takes to complete a surrogacy journey and how to handle everything that comes with it. She created Girlfriend's Guide to Surrogacy to help other women learn more about becoming a surrogate and to get support during their journeys. Hey, Joanne, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I've got so many questions I want to ask. I love that we get to have this conversation, but I'm going to open in the same way as I open all of my conversations with my guests. What does adulting or being an adult mean to you?
Yeah, I love that you asked this question. Being an adult to me means I get to choose what I want and don't want to do, but also recognizing that there are things that I don't want to do that I have to do that are necessary.
I love that. Yeah, I think it's so true. Sometimes I think when we think about it, it's like there's things that we have to do that are necessary. And if we can understand like what doing them gives us, then we can put it back in the context of like, you know what, I do want it. Like we can feel more empowered about it.
Right. And do you find that when people answer this question, it does stem from when they were a child?
I don't know. I feel like some people have really thought about it when I ask, right? Like some people are like, they've spent hours like perfecting it and like really thinking about it. And other people are just totally off the cuff. Yeah. And some people really enjoy being an adult and have spent their whole lives, like spent their whole childhood going, hurry up already. I just want to be a grown up, right? And other people are like, I hate it. Adulting sucks. Like the responsibility is too much pressure. So right. For me, it's just a really interesting concept. And for me, the whole investigation like comes from this place of balance of or the right ratios of enjoying the freedom and the kind of wildness and the playfulness and bringing all of that stuff from our childhood. Right. Into adulthood, and then also being like responsible and looking out for each other, and yeah, so I'm just fascinated by it.
Yeah, and there's some responsibilities that we would not necessarily want to do from what, because when we were kids, right? I look at my children and I think, wow, you have it so easy, and it brings me back to when I was a child of my parents saying, just wait one day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I really feel that. And I also look at my friends' kids and quite a lot of them had children or became parents older and actually did some of their own personal development work before they became parents. And to me, I can really clearly see the difference, the patience that they have and the experiences that they're creating for themselves and their children, because there's a bit of space and because it's something that they did as a choice, I suppose, rather than like just this is what you do, you grow up, you get married, you have children. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I was going to use that to kind of segue into,
of course. Like,
did you have your own children first? Did you become a surrogate first? Like, how did that journey really start for you?
Yeah, so we knew that we didn't want to have any more children. So we had a boy and a girl. And one of the requirements of becoming a surrogate is to have had a child and be raising that child.
Okay.
And I definitely recommend to people who are interested in becoming a surrogate to complete their family first, because you never know what could happen.
Right.
And, you know, because it's not without its own risk.
Was it something that you kind of looked into, I guess, the laws and the requirements and like what's going on? Or did you just start with a desire to help other women? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah. So when I say like, it just is something that happened, it really was. So the story, as I remember it anyways, it was like the beginning of summer. I was sitting by the back door while my husband was playing outside with the kids. And I had come across this flyer for egg donation. And I like to throw out topics to my husband, you know, see what he thinks about certain things. And I said, what do you think about egg donation? And of course he said, I would feel really weird having somebody biologically connected to me out in the world and me not knowing about it. You know, and after years of thinking about that, like obviously he couldn't do that because he doesn't have eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it has nothing to do with him. But I told him at that moment, I've always thought about becoming a surrogate. And he kind of looked at me like, yeah, whatever, you know, you're crazy. And so I just told him, I'm going to look into this. And it wasn't something that I like felt at that time, like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, one day I'm going to be a surrogate. I just remember talking to a girlfriend of mine about who we do it for. But this is like way before we even had children. So we didn't even know what it was like to give birth, to raise kids. And then also it was at a time when this was happening, when I was becoming a surrogate, when infertility started becoming more known. I had friends who were struggling with infertility. And one of our friends had a baby who didn't have kidneys and wasn't going to live very long after birth. And I know that's not directly tied to infertility, but it just touched me because it's such a struggle. You try so hard to be healthy and have a healthy pregnancy, and then you go through this heartache. So I didn't do any research. I was just kind of like blindly going in. I contacted this agency that had this flyer for egg donation. At the time, the gal, she answered a couple of my questions. I don't even remember what they were specifically, like just like what's the process. And she encouraged me just to put an application in. And I did. And like a week later, I was, you know, meeting with my intended mother at the time.
Wow, that's really quick.
Yeah, it was really quick.
And do you know, because I don't know very much about this at all, do you know whether it's different in the States than it is in the UK? Or like if someone was listening to this and thinking, wow, that's something I could do, and I've often thought about it, or it's been playing on their mind for a little while, is there a place that they can go to kind of start that journey in terms of finding out what they might do, or how, or the legalities, or the kind of process?
Right. Yeah, I would just do a Google search about whatever country you're in, because I know if you're in the States, we are more surrogacy friendly. And I think that places that have universal healthcare, I guess is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that the surrogacies, you can't be compensated for it.
Right. Okay.
And then in the States, I would definitely just find someone who's done it,
mm-hmm.
And ask questions, because I didn't do that. I definitely didn't do that, and I should have.
And do you wish that you had?
I mean, looking back, I feel like it was just meant to be, because everything just fell into place when it was supposed to. But I would encourage people to get their questions answered.
Great. And I'm assuming that if, and we'll put all the links to your site and all the rest of it, like, on the show notes so people can click through, but I'm assuming that you've answered some of those questions and kind of are talking about those topics there, right?
Yes, and they can just reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to anybody who has questions.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, we when I'm on this show, it's a part of my mission and vision to show people that there's all sorts of different ways to live, right? That we don't need to conform, that it doesn't have to be how somebody else told you it could be. Was there a response from your friends or family around the choice that you were making? Was it something, were they good about it? Did everyone kind of go, oh yeah, and were they just fine, or was there some kind of response?
Yeah, the typical response is like, wow, that's crazy. And I just get bombarded with questions. And that's why I decided to start this blog and this business, because I think people are just naturally curious, because it's outside of the, like, what's normal. Mm-hmm. I have been met. So I think there's, you get all types of responses, right? People are genuinely happy and excited, or I couldn't do that. But there are some you can tell that they don't really believe in it, which is fine. Like, we're all entitled to our own opinions and beliefs. But no one's really, like, blatantly said, that's not right.
Okay. And I, you know, yeah. I don't know how that I would deal with that anyway. And, you know, who's to say what's right and what's not right? Have you found the process? So a lot of the things that I assume people come up with straight away is, like, how difficult is it to, like, give this baby away? Does it feel like yours, or do you feel like you have a part in it? Are you allowed to have contact? There's all of the kind of emotional side. Was that different from what you expected?
Yes. I'm always shocked by what people think, like, this is my baby. Like, I think I've had someone say, oh, it makes me feel so, what did this gal say to me? She said, not proud, but I guess happy or encouraged by people who give their babies away or something. I'm like, well, this is not my baby. You know that, right? This is not, like, genetically not tied to me whatsoever. And so, like, how I explain it to my kids is, I'm just babysitting. And so, do you keep kids who you're babysitting? No, we don't keep those kids. We actually give them back to their parents. And so for me too, I know that I'm mentally tough, especially as I've the number of journeys I've done. So I don't have any issues whatsoever. I feel like I've always just prepared myself for what could happen or how I may feel. And that has really helped me in the process.
And so after that first one, like, what was it about that that made you go, oh, you know what, I could do this again?
Well, for me, my pregnancies have always been smooth.
Right.
And I think that's another reason why people get into surrogacy, is because we've had relatively easy pregnancies. But seeing that mother who struggled, my first couple struggled for years through 3 rounds of IVF. And if, for anybody who's gone through IVF, it is not a walk in the park. And to be emotionally tied when you're the one going through it, I can just imagine the difficulty that they go through. But seeing her hold her, she had twins, and seeing her hold her babies, there's just nothing like it. And so I just knew that I wanted to continue.
And has it affected your health in any way?
No. Okay. Yeah, I think some people, and what I've heard is some people were just meant to have babies. And I feel that. I think I was meant to have more children, but we didn't want more children. And so I feel blessed that I'm able to give back in this way.
And how long do you think you'll continue?
Well, I don't know. That's what I keep telling my husband. He thought I was one and done.
Right.
And then after the second one, I think he's just, he just knows that I will let him know. But I'm pretty committed to helping my previous couple for as long as they want and as long as, I guess, that I feel that I can go. I'm turning 37, so there's obviously going to be an endpoint due to age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just go journey to journey.
And so have you, I don't know whether you're allowed to tell me this or not, but have you been a surrogate for the same couple more than once?
Oh, no. This would be the first time that I'm doing it again. Okay. So my first couple, they had twins. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would want any more. The second couple, they had a child through surrogacy prior to me. So I think they're done. And then, then my current couple just wants to continue to grow their family.
That must be quite nice to know that, to have a relationship with them already.
It is. It really is.
And have you maintained, like, a friendship with those couples?
Yes, I don't, not with my first couple. So for me, I'm reserved and I'm an introvert. It's really hard to get to know me. I'm working on it. And my first couple, the same way, very reserved. And so that wasn't as easy for us. But my last couple, or I'm sorry, my second journey and then my last couple is a lot easier just to maintain that friendship and the communication. And nowadays with technology, with apps and email, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. I can imagine that it's, you know, even though you're saying it's their baby and, you know, and it is their baby and you're babysitting, it's not like a, it's not a transactional process, right?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? There are still so many, there's hormones involved and emotions involved and like connection and all of that stuff. So it must be kind of complicated to navigate. And it sounds like, you know, you've done a, like it was just a natural thing for you and a choice.
I think it's easier for me because I know that I don't want to have any more children.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that you tend to have a stronger relationship with the parents, the parent or the parents through the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And if someone listening to this was like, they very clear that they don't want children of their mm-hmm. own, but that they would like to experience pregnancy and that they could help, you know, help somebody else out. And that would be something they were interested in. Is that something that you think that they could do? Or is it only for people who have already been through the pregnancy journey?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that you have to have had a child. I'm not 100% sure, but I think in the US anyways, in the US, you have to have had a child and be raising that child. And I did ask my fertility doctor, you know, why is it women who have been pregnant or who've had children? And they've found that it's those women who are able to get pregnant easier.
Right.
Through IVF.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And is there, is this your main business now as well as looking after your own children?
Yeah, for me, I'm definitely multi-passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I have a business through my name, Joanne Liz Richardson, where I help network marketers grow their businesses online and build their personal brand. Then I have the blog, and then I have Surrogacy.
Great. And do you, when you were a kid and you were like thinking about what you were going to be when you were growing up, was this like part of that in any way at all?
No. I mean, I feel like I knew I wanted to have children. But I didn't know what that looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely waited longer than what my parents did. Like I had our first, like right before my 30th birthday. And I know people are having babies later. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, surrogacy is around too, is we're waiting a lot longer and it tends to become harder the longer you wait.
Mm.
But no, I mean, I even asked Brad, my husband, do you ever think that we would be doing this? It still is crazy to me. Even after I've given birth to 4 babies through surrogacy, it's still crazy.
It sounds like you've really enjoyed it though.
Yes. And I love being pregnant. People, and I wouldn't say like, I want to be pregnant tomorrow, but I just feel like I feel strong and I feel healthy and it just feels great to be able to like grow another person who can make this world a better place is how I feel.
I love that. I feel like this has been like just an interesting soundbite or snippet into another way of living and another way of supporting each other in a world that is changing, right? And
right.
Like you said at the beginning, you know, being an adult means that we've got the freedom to choose and that we can make these choices and that we can be of service and support one another. I feel like it probably isn't for everybody and there are definitely some legalities and guidelines and contracts and things to think about. And if somebody is listening to this and they want to know more, do you want to just give them the links to that? And like I said, I'll pop them in, but do you want to give them the links?
Sure.
To get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can just definitely go to my website, Girlfriend's Guide to Surrogacy, and it's GFGuideToSurrogacy.com.
Yeah.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Great. Well, we'll put those links in so people can click through. And I really just wanted to say thank you. I know it's a kind of a short, sweet chat for us, but just wanted to say thank you for giving us a little view, a little peephole into another way of, you know, choosing to use what you have and support one another and kind of adult, I suppose.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I love to end these shows with a little confession of sorts, I'm an adult, but have you got a confession for me?
Oh man. Okay. I didn't think about this one ahead of time. I'm an adult, but I don't shower every day.
Me neither. I love that as a confession. Where am I going to go with this one today? I love bouncing off people, and sometimes they come out like left field. I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I am an adult, but I still love someone else making my bed for me, like changing the sheets. I have a cleaner and I love her to pieces. And when she comes and like changes the bed linen, I am an excited little girl. There is nothing better than getting into clean sheets.
Yeah, well, I don't clean. I'm very blessed to have a husband who cleans about 98% of the time.
That's amazing. Yeah. Joanne, thank you so much for your time. It's been really fun talking to you.
Likewise.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.